It's time to pick that lawn up by the bootstraps with a healthy dose of Rosie on the House. Get all the advice you could want from the Harper Nursery Boys by dialing 1-888-ROSIE-4U.
We got a nice little sprinkle, and man, we are surrounded by a creosote. And I just love that wet creosote smell in the morning. It just, the whole desert feels like it's coming alive.
Does smell good.
Now, the bad news is we haven't got a lot of that. I saw a covey of quail leaving my house this morning with only two babies following it.
Yeah.
And that's been pretty uniform of all the coveys I've been seeing. Usually, in a good wet spring, you're seeing 8, 12. I mean, it just, the string of babies can go on. Sometimes you can't even count them all. With the watering, with the landscape, with the drought, it's going to bring in critters. I mean, it's just going to happen.
Yeah, they're going to be looking for cool, wet stuff to eat. You know, if the desert's dried up, they're going to start coming in, things like rabbits and birds and that sort of thing, looking for any kind of moisture or green material to feed on. And if you're just going to be like a target for that. So you're probably going to see a little more of that. As it gets really hot outside, even things like crickets and roaches and those guys, they're wanting to find cooler spots.
Scorpions,
all those places, are, you know, they're going to follow the cool. They're going to be up closer to your house, trying to get in your house. So there's, you know, there's all the pest issues that we haven't talked about too. So, you know, diatomaceous earth around the edge of your house. Keep things clean. Keep the wood pile away from the house. You know, if you've got scorpions, it's because you've got, you know, crickets and grasshoppers and roaches and other things for them to eat.
Or not, a not very cleaned landscape. If you've got a lot of shrubs up against the house, that's a great spot for shade. That's a great spot for them to hunt food.
Yeah, you know, you're going to have, that's where the DE would come in, you know, putting that around the house.
Where do you buy your diatomaceous earth?
We buy it through a distributor, L&L.
So you sell it at Harper's Nursery.
Yes.
And is that food grade? Is,
yes.
What grade is? Okay.
Yeah, it is labeled for indoor use around kitchens, that sort of thing. Yes.
And that stuff you can, I mean, you just pick up with your hands. This isn't the
right.
Biohazard stuff that a lot of professionals will use. The
and you
got
to, you know, you got to be careful. Aspirate. You don't want to breathe it in. Obviously, it's, you know, it is fine and gritty, but you know it. If you're careful, don't do it on a windy day.
Did you eat a lot of paint chips when you were a kid?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, I do have one follow-up question. Kevin called in and wanted to know, he was listening to y'all talk about core aerating your Bermuda and stuff. He wanted to know, is it too late to do that now?
Absolutely not. I mean, you can corate all through the growing season.
He wanted to reseed as well. What about that?
Well, you'd reseed after you core aerate. You wouldn't want to seed and then core aerate,
yeah.
And pull all your seed up or disperse it or drive it too deep into the ground. So,
John, what do you do when you core aerate? You've got hundreds of plugs just laying all over the ground. What do you do with those? You pick those up?
I take my lawnmower without a catcher and just bust them up.
You do?
I take the catcher off. Of course, I don't ever use a catcher.
Yeah.
I mow my lawn and I let the clippings lay on the lawn. So I haven't picked up a clipping off of my lawn in 20 years.
Yeah.
But that's what I do. I just take the lawnmower and go over it two or three times in different directions and just bust it up.
Okay.
And then I'll usually get gypsum or dispersol and get it on the lawn and then just maybe go over it with a broom,
mm-hmm.
a big wide push broom,
yeah.
And just kind of push all that stuff around, let it fall back into the holes mixed in with the gypsum and sulfur. And
and would he core aerate, mow, chop up,
yep.
Seed, then gyp and dispersol on top?
Yeah, you could do that. And then maybe even throw a little compost or something over the top of that if you've got bare spots. You know, you want to make sure those bare spots don't dry out, so you got to cover them with a little bit of composted material.
There you go.
Well, we appreciate it, Kevin. Hope that helps. And it's probably still cool enough. You can get a good hour and a half, 2 hours before it gets super unbearable.
Certainly better this morning than a couple mornings ago.
Yeah, pretty nice,
you know,
this morning.
Wasn't bad out. So going to be a little more temperate this weekend. Going to get some, you know, monsoon activity. So, yeah, either that or in the evening. I went home last evening, and gosh, that kind of dust windstorm blew in. It was down to, you know, like 90 degrees pretty quick, so it wasn't bad out.
Yeah, it's amazing how comfortable 90 degrees feels.
God, no kidding. Isn't that dumb? 90 degrees is nice out.
Well, drive around. See what's looking good. If Absolutely. Your landscape's looking a little weathered, take note of, like Jay says, what does look good right now.
And there are a lot of things. You know, red bird of paradise and Texas sage and bougainvilleas and lantanas and, you know, hesperalos and, of course, a lot of the cactus and agaves and yuccas. And, you know, you just got to be creative and think where those things are going to make the most impact, and then save the little microclimates, the shady afternoon side of the house, the up close to the entryway. You know, I've got lots of jasmine and lots of real tropical things, but they're up close to the house where they get afternoon shade. They're a little protected. They look great. There's nothing wrong. You know, I mean, this heat hasn't bothered them a bit, but they're in the right place. So it's right plant in the right place makes a huge difference to how your landscape's going to look when it's under severe stress.
Well, we appreciate you joining us this Saturday morning. It's Rosie on the House now. You said 27. Coming up in October. We're getting there.
I lost count. I still can't remember how many years I've been married. Is it 35 or 36?
Uh-oh.
36. I knew it was close.
Around right there. In there.
As long as you remember the exact day.
Yeah, I remember the exact day. I do.
Coming up next hour, we're joined talking solar. If you've got questions about going solar, if it's right for you.
That's actually in the 10 o'clock hour.
Oh, 10 o'clock hour.
Dan King from Harmon Solar is going to come. If you've got questions about return on investment, is solar still a good investment for you or not? You've got questions, you're confused. There's good reason for it. There's a lot of confusing information out there on the solar industry right now. So Dan's going to come in, kind of clear that all up for us. Again, that's Dan King of Harmon Solar. In the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to talk a little bit about sharpening and taking care of your tools, as well as any project you're trying to tackle. Give us a ring. 9 o'clock is when we throw the lines open and take any topic, any question on house, home, castle, or cabin.
Download show archives and take Rosie on the go. Sign up for the Rosie on the House weekly podcast located under the media tab at rosieonthehouse.com.